My guest at this time is Illinois Republican Congressman Peter Roskam. He is also the chief deputy whip for the House Republicans. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of different topics. First of all, the president's visit to Capitol Hill on Wednesday to meet with House Republicans, talk about fiscal issues and probably some other things as well. And we also want to get his thoughts on the similarities and more likely contrast between the House Republican budget blueprint for the next fiscal year and that of Senate Democrats, which also came out this week. And Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, it's an honor. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's not too often that the president and the Republican conference all sit down together. What was the most important thing you wanted to know from him, and what was the most important thing he wanted to know from you?
Well, I'll tell you, it's always a good thing when you have leaders talking with one another and not past one another. So we appreciated the president's willingness to come up to the Capitol Hill, and he was graciously received by our members. I think our members were chastened and somewhat reluctant in that they know that the president made a phone call on his election night to Nancy Pelosi to recommit himself to help her defeat a bunch of the very members that he was talking to. In other words, to recapture the House for the Democrats in the 2014 election. And so they were sort of chastened by that, and it caused a feeling of pause, like, is this somebody that really wants to work on a bipartisan basis, or is he completely, set on defeating the House Republican majority? From the president's point of view, I think what he understood was a sense of clarity from the House GOP that was making it very clear to him that new revenues were not on the table, that he got $1 trillion in new taxes under Obamacare, $600 billion in new taxes at the end of the year with the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, and now it was all about, in his words, a balanced approach, and if he wants a balanced approach, we need to see where he proposes to save money.
We're talking with Illinois Congressman Peter Roskam, and Congressman, we heard some sort of anecdotes coming out of it. The president might be willing to find common ground, and House Republicans common ground with him on reducing the corporate tax rate. We've also heard that he might be softening a little bit on the Keystone Pipeline. Did you get a good sense on either of those yesterday?
I got a little sense of softening on the Keystone Pipeline. I felt like the president's language shifted a little bit. But again, actions speak louder than words. So, I'm waiting, and I'm hopeful that the president will change his mind and approve the Keystone Pipeline, particularly in light that the fact that the State Department has come out with the conclusion that there's not an adverse environmental impact, and the governor of Nebraska is now in favor of a new siting, and it should move forward. And the only obstacle is the president himself. On the tax issue, again, the president has chosen to redefine the word tax reform. Traditionally, and the common understanding of tax reform, is that you close loopholes in an effort to drive rates down. And by closing loopholes, you use that to pay for lower rates and a simpler tax code for everybody else. Now, the president has chosen to define it as closing loopholes and using that as a vehicle to pay for more spending. And in light of that, the definitions of these things become very, very, very important.
And so if you can't agree on what reform is, the details then seem even further away, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and I think, look, it's one thing to talk about reforming the corporate tax code, and it's another thing to make sure that we do it in totality with the individual tax rate. So in other words, what you don't want to do is move forward into an environment where the small businesses in and around the country that are paying at the individual tax rate are left holding the bag for a larger tax reform deal.
Let's talk about the budgets, and specifically the differences between the House Republican budget, the Senate Democratic budget. The House Republican budget promises to balance within 10 years. There are a couple of assumptions in there, one being tax reform as House Republicans define it, and also the repeal of Obamacare. Are those assumed imminently once the president leaves office as it relates to Obamacare, for example? How does the timetable work on those things?
Well, remember, budgets are aspirational documents, and what they do is they describe a vision, and the vision for House Republicans says that because of the cost of Obamacare, we propose to repeal it, and then we also propose to replace the current tax code with a reformed tax code that will lead to a more competitive environment all the way around. Now, this is in contrast to President Obama, who over the past couple of days has said there's not a crisis as it relates to debt and that we can kind of not worry so much. And I'm trying not to be ungenerous, but he seems very cavalier about this debt question. And the Senate Democrats sort of fulfill that in that they're saying they want to vote and have an additional $1 trillion in new taxes that would be foisted upon the U.S. economy. So very different views of the world. We think that, the view that the House Republicans are rallying around reflects more the reality of where families live their lives. That is the recognition that interest on mortgages and interest on credit cards and interest on car payments are things that have to be paid. And yet the president seems to say, don't worry about those interest payments. They'll be taken care of at another day.
Another big driver, of course, of the debt and annual deficits is entitlement spending. I know that Chairman Ryan and others in the Budget Committee have addressed this before. How specifically does the blueprint address reforming and bringing down those costs over time?
It speaks right to it, because to your point, that's where the money is. You've got 10,000 people every 24 hours who are newly eligible for Medicare and 10,000 people who are newly eligible for Social Security based on the baby boom. And so that's where the lion's share of savings have to be, particularly in light of the fact that it's generally recognized that these programs will be unsustainable, in fact, insolvent in 12 years, at least for Medicare. So the House Republican budget that's being authored by Paul Ryan goes right to that. And again, it says for those folks at or near retirement, there's no change. If you were born before 1958, no change, and they don't go into place until 2024. But the longer we wait, the fewer options we have. And if we act now, we've got an opportunity to change this thing and to do the right thing and to save this program and make it solvent for generations into the future.
When it comes to ideas that are not usually very politically popular, but some say they could make a big difference, like raising the eligibility age or means testing for some of these entitlements for those who are retired, what's the general GOP position on those?
Look, Republicans in the past 2 years have come out and said, as it relates to Medicare, if you're poor, you need more help. If you're wealthy, you need less help. And we've already crossed that so-called political Rubicon. We invite the president, if this is something that he thinks makes sense, and he sort of says it behind closed doors, but he's only willing to negotiate on these things, even though he says he agrees with them, if there is a commitment to raising taxes, and that, of course, shouldn't be a precondition to saving money.
Last question for you, Congressman. Republicans, as you say, have put out an aspirational document, if you had your druthers, the way you would see things unfold in the next 10 years. Senate Democrats have done the same. The president's obviously also a factor in this. Do you see from these visions that there's much room for common ground here?
The common ground will be around areas that have to do with an export agenda, trying to remove trade barriers, for example, so that we can sell more exports abroad, those sorts of things. But when it all comes down to it, we need the spending fever in Washington to break. And we've got to break this fever so that the country can get some relief. And if the only remedy for the Democratic Party is to go back to the taxpayers about every 8 weeks, then heaven help us. I think most Republicans get it, and they're trying to say, let's live within our means. The taxes have gone up under the Democrats' watch in the past, and we can't go back to the taxpayers again.
Well, despite the major differences, I'm guessing you're pleased that Senate Democrats actually did a budget this year as opposed to the last few years.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, let's call progress where it calls progress, and that's the lay of the land. Hey, I got to run to vote, but I appreciate the chance to be with you, and thanks for having me on.
Illinois Republican Congressman Peter Roskam represents the land of Lincoln's 6th Congressional District. He's the Chief Deputy Whip in the House. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.